I'm Heather Claiborne. The Whole Damn Cheese tells the story of Maggie Smith, a pioneer woman who grew up in the early 20th century ranching and learning how to make a life along the border between Mexico and Texas. For her, it wasn't much of a border. Fluent in Spanish, Maggie Smith lived on either side of the dividing line between the U.S. and Mexico at various points in her life. She served both communities as a healer, entrepreneur, negotiator, and she delved into a few more nefarious business ventures. Abilinian Bill Wright, the author of the biography, joins me to talk about the book. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
So tell me, you've written several books looking at the people and places of Texas. What drew you to focus on Maggie Smith?
Well, I had heard about Maggie. I went to the Big Bend first in 1951, and of course she was a name, and I may have met her, I don't remember, but I don't think I did, but at any rate, over the years I've tried to get down there at least once or twice a year, and certainly more frequently now that I'm writing books about the place.
Did you get to visit the hot springs?
Oh, yes. Okay. Many times.
And that was part of her business.
That was part of her business, but she had long since gone. She died in 1965, and so I really didn't have that many chances to get down there during those years. But anyway, she was a legend. She already had stories going around about her. And so where there's good stories, there's a good story.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned in the book that you're telling Maggie's story using interviews. Is it hard to write a book relying on people's memories and the stories that they pass down through the generations like that?
Well, yes, it is. And the problem is everything is oral history.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, it gets amplified sometimes, and sometimes the same stories are told a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know whether that's two incidents, incidents, or whether it's the same one told twice in a little different way. So this is really a book of stories. It's not so much a book of history, although I've tried to document in the end of the book, so it is not really bothersome during the reading, the place where the stories have come from, the people who have
sure.
told them, or where interviews were made in years past. And so hopefully we paint a pretty accurate picture.
So the family moved around quite a bit, sometimes pushed by environmental conditions like drought, other times due to economic or political factors. Was this pretty common at that point in general, or do you think it was particular to a family that was really looking to, build a life and a living?
Well, I think that all of those factors, of course, play a major role. You don't know which one is the operative situation at any particular time, but or at least in retrospect, we don't know. But I think that they were ranching people to begin with. And so in the history of the West, people were moving to the less developed areas to secure land that they could use to ranch upon. And so, as you know, the Big Bend area of Texas was probably the last frontier and still is in many respects. It's scarcely populated. It's now people are finding it and are coming out in droves, but as recently as, maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, it was still pretty much the frontier.
Yeah, a big piece of Maggie's story happens around the Big Bend. Do you have a favorite of the stories? Do you have a favorite instance that was related to you?
Well, I tell you, they were all my favorites. But one thing that was really particular was the time that she was at the little railroad stop of Quebec, there in on the U.S. 90. There was a little bar there that she ran. And so one night she heard some rattling in the other room, and she went in, and there was a guy that had gotten off the train that had stopped to take on water or something, and he was rifling through the cash register, pocketing all of her money, and she pulled out her pistol and challenged him, and of course he put back the money, and she said, "Where'd you come from?" And he said, "That train over there." And she said, "You better get back on it right now." And he said, "Well, there's no rush." And she shot right between his legs, and that sent him off, and she emptied that gun around him, and when the they caught him in
at the next stop.
At the next stop in Marfa, and they asked her if you know about that incident, and asked if he was really running fast, and she said, "Well, he didn't stop to pick no daisies."
You know, that story relates to several of the stories you tell, because people didn't mess with her. Generally, the people who knew her really didn't mess with her, whether they were officials or whether they were wax smugglers from the Mexican side of the border. They really seemed to respect her and try to protect her from, you know, any type of, you know, interference.
Well, I think that's the magic word, respect. I think that the fact that she was such a caregiver to the less fortunate people, whether they were ranch hands or Mexicans from across the river or just transients wandering through the country. She, if they were in trouble, she was there to help them, and she did. She took them to doctors and Fort Stockton, and if they'd gotten shot, and they delivered babies, and she stood up for them, and probably they thought she married them. But at any rate, she performed all these things, and actually she got a little crosswise with the national park people, because when it became a national park, she was there first.
Right.
But when it became a national park, of course, she was expected to do the accounting and things of that nature, that along with the bureaucracy of the park system, you know. And it's hard to account for a sack of flour going out with three or four chickens in payment. I mean, they didn't fit in the cash register.
They didn't have a column for chickens. Yeah, so she got along with people, and they didn't really interfere with her. There were times that, you know, her lease would be up and they wouldn't renew it, and she'd be on her way again.
That's right.
But she was a tough lady. I mean, you mentioned she was providing medical care to people. You know, she even negotiated some international disputes.
Exactly.
I mean, do you have a sense of how she came to fill all of these roles? How did she develop the skills for this type of life?
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she grew up as a self-reliant woman. I think that the whole history of her family was one of self-reliance. And I think that, you know, people say they're developing the way they are is either nature or nurture. And I think that she had the nature of some strong forebears. And I think that she knew how to handle people by observing her father and her grandfather and people as they worked with these ranch hands. And I think that was part of it. And I think just the fact that she was so kind and helpful that the respect was made it a lot easier for her because she traveled at night mm-hmm. in the wax business, especially with maybe $5,000 or $6,000. No one ever bothered her.
You just mentioned the wax business. She did have a little bit of a renegade side with smuggling liquor during Prohibition. She was also in this illicit wax trade, bringing the specific type of wax across the border. She made an interesting life for herself.
Well, she did. She didn't really smuggle it. The people who gathered it and processed it in Mexico smuggled it out of Mexico because it was illegal to take it out. There was a monopoly on it by the bank in Mexico, but it was not illegal to bring it into the United States. And so they would bring it across the river at night to escape the Mexican authorities. And then she would take it from there and take it to one of the central gathering points, like in Alpine or Marathon or one of those towns on the railroad. And they would be able to send it on to New York or the various places. And So it was all legal as long as she paid the tax to bring it into the United States, and which she did. And so in that sense, she wasn't breaking the law, but she was skirting right at the very edge of it.
Definitely a gray area.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the book, you're describing her funeral, and you said that Maggie's death marked the end of an era that will not be seen again. I'm curious what that means to you.
Well, it means to me that here is a woman that, in a sense, she had to make a life absolutely for herself. She came with her husband, who died shortly after arrival at this new business, the trading post that she had taken over. And here she was with several children by herself, in no gasoline, no water. I mean, everything, no electricity, no roads. She was in the right where you had to just make do. There wasn't any Walmart.
You had to be tough.
You had to be tough. And so she rose to the occasion, did what was necessary, and not only did she survive, she prospered.
So the title of the book comes from a quote that Maggie Smith gave about herself, but Madge, her daughter, kind of references that in a quote that you have at the end of the book. I'm wondering if you'll read that for us.
Okay. Madge was the person that really interviewed her. And so I'm very thankful to Madge for having recorded all of this. But Madge said that she lived by a creed. I don't believe after she went to the border that she ever went to church in her life, except whenever she'd go to the Catholic Church in Alpine to bury a Mexican. But there were no churches where she lived. She had more little Bibles than anyone I ever heard of. She was a deeply religious woman in the sense that she believed that you were supposed to help anyone in need. She always had a helping hand for everybody. She was a friend of the rich and the poor alike. And I think it was a well-earned epitaph for a frontier woman who was truly a legend in her time. In some respects, she was a stereotypical frontier woman, strong, independent, and resourceful. But she was so much more than that. She was a successful entrepreneur, a healer, a friend of the underprivileged, and a transborder trader. Maggie Smith engaged in some nefarious activities, we know that. She stretched existing laws. She challenged authorities, including those of the Big Bend National Park. She was a border legend, truly, who refused to suffer fools, and as she herself said on the Big Bend radio, Rio Grande border, she was the whole damn cheese.
Well, Bill Wright, thank you so much for coming in to talk to me about Maggie Smith and about your book.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bill Wright's latest book is The Whole Damn Cheese. He's an award-winning author and photographer. He's been honored by the City of Abilene with the Outstanding Citizen Award and by the Texas Chamber of Commerce, which recognized him as the Outstanding West Texan. His other books include The Tigua, Pueblo Indians of Texas, winner of the Border Book Award, and The Kickapoo, Keepers of Tradition and Portraits from the Desert, Bill Wright's Big Bend. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.